Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
As sports keep coming back, so does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline.ag. Major League Baseball is in full swing and there are no shortage of ways to get on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Also, tune in as Floyd Money Mayweather joins the BetOnline team in a new segment called The Ice is Right, where he talks about his expansive jewelry collection. He'll give you the chance to win some great prizes and bet on the cost of his bling. Visit betonline.ag today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the welcome back to sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. All right, guys, welcome into another Pit Panther Rants, another Sports Rants podcast, brought to you by Armchair Media and BetOnline.ag, and sponsored by Manscaped as well. Hashtag take a seat. Well, two podcasts in 1 week. I'm on a roll, guys, as this is the second podcast that I'll do. It's weird because, you know, a few days ago, one of my followers on Twitter sent me an instant message, or DM, I should say, and he said, you know, you haven't did a podcast in a while, so he was checking to see if everything was okay with me. And, you know, I actually appreciate him checking on my well-being. I'm not being a smartass when I say that, because with all the stuff that's going around this year, you don't know, you know, you don't know what's happening behind people's tweets, retweets and whatnot, and humor and laughter. I mean, we're kind of, the way things are now these days, we're in a more electronic world. And it's like, you don't know what happens behind emails and text messages. People may tell you that you're all right and that all is well, but, and you know, some people may look happy, but maybe they're just miserable behind the scenes. There's other stuff going on, and it's just, you know, it's a, you know, kind of a false flag, I should call it, or, you know, where it's like, I'm trying to act happy, but I'm really sad inside. I mean, you know, and I was in, Andrew, who runs our, you know, who runs the pod, you know, he pretty much, he gives us the ad reads, he tells us what we need to do, and, you know, he's been pretty cool guy. I mean, he, you know, I reached out to him, and I told, you know, after a while, because I wasn't recording, I'm like, I was like, hey, dude, I've been in the middle of a lot of stuff with this moving and whatnot. I'm just, you know, I'll get to, you know, I just can't do it right now. And he was cool about it. You know, he understood. He said, nothing to worry about. And so I'm back in the game, and I'm here. But, yeah, I mean, a lot's going to happen. I mean, well, for one thing, I mean, the sports was still playing on restarting for last month, and there was that. And then, you know, I mean, talk about that ad nauseum just gets, you know, it just gets old. I mean, the plans of restarting this, you know, the leagues and just all the other stuff. I mean, it just, there just wasn't much going on, and, you know, and it's just, a lot of it was being regurgitated. And on top of that, you had stuff that just a lot of pissing matches. I mean, you know, an issue with all the social justice stuff that went on, there was a message and a clear thing. Then it turned to pissing matches. You know, and of course, the messages kept getting hijacked, where you had people destroying stuff that wasn't related to the message. They were just destroying shit. Then the anti-Semitic stuff went down, and of course, it just spiraled out of control. So, I mean, it's, which eventually I'll probably get into. I think if I get into more of the talking about the social justice movement stuff, I'm probably going to do it more, not so much, I'm going to try to cover from both angles, because there's two angles to this. And the thing is, it's the same thing with the NBA. I mean, the NBA tries to be, you know, I guess, quote unquote, woke. And then, of course, the whole China thing happens. And if you're going to be vocal about stuff here in, you know, in our country, and your business partner who's in China is doing a whole bunch of stuff, and you're like, eh, whatever, you know, not my worry. Well, you know, people aren't exactly going to take you seriously with what you're doing. And the same thing with what happened in the NFL with the what some players said. It's the same thing. If you're speaking out against one thing and then you're making anti-Semitic comments, and you know, the league, you know, the players go quiet, then of course people aren't going to take you seriously for what you're doing. So it's you know, it's just one way to look at it. You know. And that's pretty much all I'm going to say about that. Well, actually, I will say that Kaepernick's July 4th post was more, I think it was, to me, it was more of a retirement. It was more of a retirement post, because I don't think he's ever going to get back in the league. And I think not too long after that, he he's doing some with Disney Plus, but given what business ventures he has, I don't think he's ever going to put on a uniform, because he's going to be a backup, and there's no need to sign for backup money when you're making plenty more money elsewhere with not doing football. And you know what? I said I was going to talk about this stuff, and now I got it all out, and I don't have to talk about it anymore. I spent a good maybe 2 minutes on it, 3 minutes. So I would just, you know, hit skip, I guess. Just skip the podcast to the, you know, to the actual, you know, real stuff we're going to talk about. Because there was some stuff that was really intriguing to me, and some of it, you know, was some old takes that I had, and they failed miserably. Well, just one, actually. But I did see that there's a possibility UConn may not go on with the football season this year, and I mean, they're independent now, and Randy Edsall is worried about the safety of his players and worried about proper protocols are being taken and whatnot. I did read some clippings of the article, and I give Randy Edsall a lot of credit. I mean, the guy after the BCS game bolts to Maryland, and things just didn't go too all well with him, and he went back to UConn, and they patched things up, and things obviously aren't going his way. I mean, the guy had to take a pay cut just to keep one of his assistants on staff, because UConn, they just got hit, you know, that program just got hit with bad hires and buyouts and whatnot. I mean, we're talking, Randy leaves, and if there's one person that could have built that program up to where it was, Edsall's your guy. I mean, they're a 1AA. They get to 1A. They get to the Big East, and they had some, you know, they had some success. I mean, they went to bowl games. They went to a BCS bowl game as well. So, yeah, them and Cincinnati, you know, they were two big beneficiaries of the initial Big East expansion, because Cincinnati went to two BCS bowl games, and I think they actually could have went to one more. I think if Zach Collaris doesn't get hurt, I think it was 2011 season. If he doesn't get hurt, I think they go to the three BCS bowl games out of 4 years. I think that, you know, after Tony Pike, what he did at Cincinnati, I think there was a lot on the shoulders of Caleros that year later. And I just think he just couldn't handle it. I mean, he did pretty well in the reserve role. You know, that year with Cincinnati in, I think, 2009. 2010, I think I think there was just too much on his shoulders. The next year afterward, he played better, but I think it was that year he got hurt is when things just, you know, that was it for them. But if he doesn't get hurt, they go to 3 BCS bowl games. You know, they benefited from that. I mean, and that's what I get into here with this UConn thing as well. UConn joined the Big East as of July 1st, 2020. There was a big celebration on Twitter. You know, some of the UConn bloggers and whatnot were all celebrating this. And some old tweets were pulled up. I think one of mine was pulled up as well when I said that in the long run, I felt that the AAC is going to be a better venture for UConn and probably a better basketball league in the long run than the Big East. And I pretty much swung and missed on that one. I mean, the Big East in basketball has been a really good league, and they have some really good programs. And I thought that UConn would have done pretty well in the AAC. I mean, football, it was just bad hires. I mean, they replaced Randy Edsall with freaking Paul Pasqualoni. I mean, why would you do that? I mean, the guy, when he left Syracuse, he was pretty much a shell of himself, and the only thing he could really get was an assistant position. I mean, he's assistant coach material after that. I mean, that was the one baffling move. And then they just kept digging themselves in deeper holes, and now they have this. And then they have Kevin Ollie, they have those buyouts. They hired Kevin Ollie, and Kevin Ollie initially worked out. I mean, they won a national championship. But things just slowly went downhill for them, and things just really slipped. I mean, their women's program is still, you know, a dominant program. But I think, to me, what was really telling was when this past year, this year that concluded, but the year before, when we had an actual NCAA tournament, the UConn women grabbed a 2 seed in the tournament. And basically it's because, well, there was nobody worth playing in the AAC, and they pretty much could sleepwalk through that conference. But they got a 2 seed. So that was a pretty telling story there when they did that. But yeah, that happened, and you can tell that was, you know, when things were starting to slip. I mean, there were some people that said that maybe UConn was freaking out about this, and this was, you know, this, they shouldn't do this, but I'm not sure if their football program is ever going to get back to where they were at one time. The thing is, up in that area, the recruiting base isn't a whole lot. If you look at Cincinnati, for instance, after when Brian Kelly left, Butch Jones took over, he leaves for Tennessee, and then they bring in Tommy Tuberville. And it just, you know, it didn't really work out. But what Cincinnati did was they bring in Luke Fickell. And this was Luke Fickell was a really good hire for them, because they brought a guy in who was under Tressel, and he was under an Urban Meyer. So the guy was under two really good coaches, and he knows the higher recruiting base. And on top of that, he knows what needs to get done to put a program together, because he's learned under two good coaches. And on top of that, Ohio has plenty of really good. Ohio has a hotbed of players, and that's one thing that really helped Cincinnati when they got to the Big East, because before that they were just Conference USA, and to convince them to get kids to go there was hard, because Why would they want to go to Cincinnati when they can go to Miami, Ohio, Akron, Kent State? Play of other Ohio programs they can go to. They don't have, you know, when they went to the Big East, they had a BCS, they were in a BCS conference. And then they can convince players to say, hey, you come here, we may contend them for BCS. And they did. And at one time, they were ranked higher than Ohio State. Because, and I think one of the radio shows every month, every week was reminding people they were ranked, that Cincinnati was ranked higher than Ohio State in the polls. And of course, the message boards as well. I mean, I remember scout.com, the message boards from Cincinnati were buzz. But then when the Big East collapsed, just the football collapsed, and the conferences were formed, Cincinnati ends up in the AEC with UConn, the message boards became a ghost town because there was no more excitement. I mean, what excitement is there? There's nothing to play for anymore. There's no BCS to contend for. You're hoping for some high, you know, the highest level bowl game you can find, and there's nothing to play for. You go from the BCS to no BCS, you know, no chance of a college playoff. But I think with Fickell, I think he's, you know, I think he'll be there for a long time. I mean, unless Ohio State melts down or Michigan melts down, I think they'll have him for a while. I mean, I think he's going to be there long term, because if he keeps bringing the players, if he keeps them ranked, then he has no need to really go anywhere else. I mean, I'm sure Cincinnati's going to give him the money as well. If he wants money, they'll pay him. But that's just an example of what happens. I mean, UConn had some good with football, but bad hires killed it, and they ride the ship with basketball. But they're going to move their. They know the basketball is pretty much what they have left, and they got to protect it. So that's why they're heading to the Big East, because they know they got to protect their basketball product. So, well, speaking of certain teams getting cut off from the BCS, let me tell you about something you want to avoid getting cut. Or should I say avoid cutting and avoid hurting? It's your balls. Well, that's why we have Manscaped. And you know what? They got the Lawnmower 3.0. It's a premium electric trimmer. It's designed to give you that confidence boost with, you know, through your body image. It's going to make you look like a Roman warrior. It's got ceramic blades, skin-safe technology, no nicks, tugs. So you know what? You're gonna be able to shave and be able to sculpt yourself without having to worry about being clipped, without you know, canceling your date or postponing it because, well, you've had a little accident down there, and it's not looking good. But it's got longer battery life, and of course they released the Shears 2.0 nail kit. And you gotta pick this up, you guys. I mean, it's gonna help you out with your it's gonna help you out with your eyebrows and trim your nails in style. Of course, there's the ball deodorant. I mean, you want your jewels to smell good, don't you? So go to manscaped.com. Enter a promo code armchair, 20% off your purchase and free shipping. You don't have to buy the whole kit. They have plenty of products you can buy separately. So go check out, you guys. Go to manscaped.com, promo code armchair. And also, you guys, remember that sports are back. MLB and Lost Sports are full swing. Go to BetOnline. They have all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Check out Floyd Mayweather's segment called The Ice is Right, where he talks about his expansive jewelry collection. You get a chance to win some of his great prizes and bet on the cost of his bling. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. And sign up and check out their bonuses. Well, yeah, you know, I just read the whole Manscaped thing, and I'm reading it, and I'm like, they have a nail kit now and pluck your eyebrows? I don't know, guys. I'm 41 years old. I don't think I've ever worried about what my eyebrows look like. I mean, my nails, I mean, you make sure you keep the dirt out of them, but I'm not sure about the other stuff, you know? That's just, you know, that's a bit out there. I mean, at 41, I'm not really worried about. I mean, of course, with the with shaving accidents, if, when you're manscaping, you know, if you're going to pluck it and, you know, shave in other regions, you know, of course, you definitely don't want, you know, if you have a chance of quote-unquote scoring, you don't want to, you know, delay that and say, oh, you know, I got a headache. You know, I just, you know, I had a long day. I just can't do it. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get back to some more stuff here. So let's talk about, let's do a segment of what if. And this had me thinking. What if Pitt ended up not in the ACC? What if they end up in the hypothetically, let's say what if they ended up in the AAC? Well, here's what would have happened, in my opinion. What, you know, this would have, you know, Pitt would have been the same fate as UConn. Basketball, I think we would have been fine, because there were still some good basketball teams, you know, some good programs still. Jamie would have been able to rack up his 20 wins, his 20-plus wins a season without a whole lot of effort. Sure, we'd probably go to NCAA tournament and lose in the first round because, well, we were playing a bunch of weak competition all year. But still, we're going to the tournament. It's all matters. So I think, you know, the basketball piece, we're fine because we're happy as long as we're still going, you know, we're still in 20 games and going to the tournament, you know. Basketball, we're fine. I think the Olympic sports, they're pretty much in the same position as they were in the Big East. So they're still going to be a big pile of horse dung. But I think for football, if Pitt got left out of expansion, it would have been disastrous for the football program. It would have been actually chaotic in a lot of ways. Because Pitt's the ACC, and they don't really fill their stadium enough now. I mean, we get 40,000 to the games, a core 45,000. So if they're in a non, you know, contention of a conference like the AAC, I think you're looking at maybe 10,000 to 20,000 going to Heinz Field. That's disastrous. I think it makes it hard to hire a coach at Pitt, to bring in somebody. I mean, Pat Narduzzi, no way in hell would he have wanted the Pitt job if Pitt's in the AAC. I think Pitt probably ends up with a maybe a young up-and-coming coach, probably, if they can get him. But knowing Pitt, they probably end up signing Terry Bowden as the head coach. They take some sort of retread who was good maybe like 20 years ago or 10 years ago. And he is the head coach. I think they go the same route UConn does when they did with Pasqualoni. They would probably have hired a freaking has-been, probably. Probably would have hired Don Nealon. That would have been, you know, our luck. That's just, you know, what I think. And, of course, a lot of other things suffer. The Pitt blogs and publications suffer because who the hell is going to go out? Who in the right mind is going to go on Cardiac Hill to read about the Pitt preview? Oh, today we're previewing the Pitt football game between Pitt and Tulane. It's a big conference matchup between the two, and, you know, lots on the line here. I missed this. Tulane even in the AAC? Let me see. Oh, yeah, they're there. Yeah, but that's pretty much what would have happened with Pitt's fate. I mean, nobody's going to go on to PantherLayer.com and pay Chris Peake $10 a month for inside information on what recruit, which recruit is going to decide between Pitt, Memphis, Central Florida, and probably Buffalo. You know, it's like, get the scoop on the three-star recruit that's going to, you know, I mean, that's pretty much what we're going to be stuck with. I mean, local kids aren't going to, you know, they barely get Pitt the time of day. I mean, we're starting to get some, you know, more bites now, but local kids aren't going to get Pitt the time of day ever again. I mean, they would have just laughed at us. But yeah, we're talking football program would die really bad. I think do we even stay at Heinz? I mean, could we go to the share the? Oh, sorry guys, that's the air freshener that just went off. Oh well, that's what happens when you podcast at home. But yeah, I mean, do we share the stadium with the Riverhounds? I mean, the buzz for football is dead, I think, at that point. And of course, all these improvements to Pitt's facilities and stuff like that, I don't think it happens. We're probably still using Block Pitt as our, logo. There's no way in hell we stay with the script. And of course, Steve Pearson was the AD, when all this went down. So does he still have a job? I mean, what does he do? Oh, good Lord. Can you imagine that guy, Steve Pearson, the AD, while Pitt's in the AAC? We definitely would have hired Terry Bowden as our head coach instead of Pat Narduzzi. Because, Pat Narduzzi, for one thing, would never have been interested in the Pitt job at that point. There would have been some young up-and-comer, probably a Luke Fickle type. And Steve would just hire, freaking Terry Bowden. I mean, who else was there to hire at that point? I mean, who else could have gotten? Tommy Tuberville. We could have grabbed him. Because Tommy was, when he was hired at Cincinnati, he was pretty much about to be ushered out. He's about to be kicked out of Texas Tech. It's quite obvious, guys. We would have been fucked for the most part. But I think one argument that could be made is that maybe if Pitt does not get picked up by the ACC, I'm sure the Big 12 would have grabbed those because they were interested. But what if none of that happens at all? I mean, well, maybe Pitt tries to keep a conference together with West Virginia if they don't get picked up by the Big 12. I'm sure they would have stayed with us, and made the league work. Same with Louisville. I'm sure they would have stayed too, and just, we could have just made this league work and made it a happy family. Not so much. But at the end of the day, we're in the ACC, and it doesn't matter how bad things can get. We're going to count our money no matter what. Oh well, you guys, I'm going to end it here. Enough rambling for the day. You guys enjoy your Thursday and the weekend. I may be back later this week. Who knows? I might do a podcast this weekend, depending on how things go, because there's some stuff I wanted to talk about. The IT, jobs working in IT. I want to all the stuff. From working in IT, my memories, I want to get that put out there. That's going to be fun. And I want to talk more about the NBA and what's been going on there. NHL as well, because that's starting back up. And yeah, we just getting back into it. All right, guys, I'm done here. Hello, Pitt. Talk to you later.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.